Well, bless you, beautiful hearts. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Isaiah 57. About a month ago, we had our weekend on Revive, and I perceived God had a little different starting place for me than I was planning to go, and we had a wonderful fellowship. But I wanted to share some things with you today in regard to four steps to reviving ourselves, four steps that will help us revive. In looking at revive, I was looking at the book of Ezra, and Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther are kind of a package of scripture, or a package and a section of scripture that's real interesting. Ezra was responsible and given the responsibility of going back and rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. The children of Israel had been under captivity, first through the Babylonians, then the Persians, and then others. But they were to begin rebuilding the temple and also the wall around the temple, which was Nehemiah's responsibility. And they were allowed to go under Cyrus, the king of Persia. And Cyrus is the son of Esther and Ahasuerus. It's a little hard to figure all of these out because Xerxes and some, a lot of the theologians give Xerxes and Ahasuerus as the same person. They're basically titles. Xerxes means the great king. Ahasuerus in Esther means the venerable king. Some even say that Darius is the same person. I'm not sure. Of course, Darius is mentioned in the book of Daniel. Others say that that was Ahasuerus's father. So it's interesting. But in any case, Cyrus and Darius means the maintainer. So you really don't have any particular name there that you can get it. It's a lot of historians say it's Astyages, Astyages, and he is the father of Cyrus. I don't know. It's a little confusing there, but Cyrus would have been trained by Esther and Mordecai. And as I said, Ezra was charged with the rebuilding of the temple. Nehemiah was charged with the rebuilding of the wall. And we are charged with the rebuilding of the body of Christ, rebuilding of the church. We consistently have this responsibility. And I was looking at the word revive, and in Isaiah chapter 57, let's start in verse 13. It says, "When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them, but he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling blocks out of the way of my people." Isn't that beautiful? Cast ye up means get it out of the way. Here's some things. First of all, get it out of your way. And cast ye up, make way, make straight the way of God. Make straight his path so that there's no need of stumbling. Take up the stumbling blocks out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. A contrite one is one who's sincerely remorseful. Contrite means to be bruised, meaning you've been wounded inside. And that's part of the responsibility. It's revive. It's revive. There are many wonderful Christian people who desire to do great things for God. They read the scriptures. They speak the word to each other and have great emotion about their Christian duty or a duty as sons of God. But somehow they're held back from acting upon those very words they profess and love. And we all go through different things. Some men are tripped up by other men's sins. Some men are tripped up by their own sins. But in any case, we need to get back on our feet. We need to get revived and be set about doing the things that so intrigued our hearts. You know, when we heard about Jesus Christ and what he did and what his disciples did, and you thought, boy, I want to do that. And then you heard some great teachings of the word and your heart was, yes, oh man, that is my life. That is what I want to do. I may have other ambitions in life as far as careers and different things. But boy, I just want to be someone to glorify my wonderful Father. I just want to do the things that Jesus Christ did. But then they get tripped up and they're bound by fear of failure, recognition of their own sins, and held in chains what others might think. And they never really get about to exercise their rights as sons of God, nor walk in the power and authority that God has given them to act in Christ's behalf. This morning, what I want to share with you are four basic steps to revive from the chains of bondage and from the other things that have held us back, to cast up, cast away, remove the stumbling blocks for you or for other people you may find in your endeavors and in your work, that you may be able to help them so that they have a clear path and an open way to do the things they so desire for their life. There are four basic steps or four basic things: honesty, humility, confession, and renunciation. Although our spiritual adversary was once an angel of light, his works are the works of darkness. The evil spirit or unclean spirit realm flourishes in darkness and secrecy. Deliverance requires then, and revival requires that we move to the light or toward the light to be free from the yoke of bondage. In Isaiah chapter 58, might be right across the page for you, just like it is on mine, in my Bible, but in Isaiah chapter 58, let's begin in verse 6. God tells them, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of the wicked, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, thou coverest him, and that thou hidest not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward or your rear guard. Then thou shalt call on the name of the Lord, then thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of waters whose waters fail not. And thou shalt, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up a foundation of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. The text reads, the restorer of the path homeward. Isn't that beautiful? That we can cast up, that we can take away the stumbling blocks so there is a straight path homeward, right where we want it to be. All these things are things we desired for our lives to do. We wanted to help people in every category of life. Well, he said, God says, this is the fast that I have chosen. Boy, I'm having trouble with my tongue today. I must have put it in backwards or something. This is the fast I have chosen. We think I need to pray more. I need to spend more time in prayer. Or I need to read more. That's what'll help me. I'll read the Bible more. Or I need to study more. That's it. I need to study till I really understand these things. I need a bigger library of Bible aids. I need to read more Christian books or watch more Christian movies, etc. But it isn't the things that you haven't been doing. It's the things you have been doing. Those are the things you have been doing. Isn't it? Isn't it the things you've been doing? You've been reading the Word. You've been praying. You've been studying. You've been looking into other things to try and make all of it come together and cohere. You've been reading about life, studying about the freedom in Christ, grace, forgiveness, sowing and reaping. But the part where we haven't been is living in the glorious, joyful blessing of what you have received as a son of God. Well, the first thing is we need to be honest. Honest, number one, with yourself. Are you in chains of bondage? Let's go to Romans chapter 8. This great record in Romans chapter 8. See, I think the area where bondage gets to us is not acting upon the scriptures, not exercising the things we have read. We read about our freedom in Christ, but are we really living free? We read about our power and authority, but are we really exercising it in our lives? In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, the scriptures tell us, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption," or sonship, it should really be, "whereby we cry, Abba, Father," or "Father, Father." So what do I need to do? Well, what's holding you back from acting upon the words that you have read? Hebrews chapter 5. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5. And read these wonderful scriptures. Now, if you do not need what I'm sharing with you today for yourself, certainly these are great points that you may help others get free. Here's what happened, and Paul is writing to the Hebrews, the Judean believers, the people who were of a Judean background and got born again. And in verse, let's start in verse 12. He says to them, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." And here's the reason why. For, verse 13, "Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them who are of full age, even those who by reason of," what's the next word?
Use.
"Have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Isn't that something? That's what happens when we just get into our studies and not really getting into our practice of the scripture. And like I say, there may be different reasons why. You get upset with somebody and you say, "Oh, the heck with this." Or you stop, you know, your enthusiasm goes. And so you lose all of this. But never allow your own sins or someone else's sins deter you from moving on that road, that clear path, removing the stumbling blocks to the path homeward, to the things you really desire to do. I wanted to be like Christ. I wanted to be like my Lord. I wanted to be like his disciples. I admired all those wonderful people, and I wanted to do the same things. Even in our crazy world where we've got planes and trains and cars and, you know, hours of work and all these different things, education out the kazoo and all of these different things, I wanted in the depth of my heart to be his disciple and live like his disciple. And you know what? People are not better off than the people among whom Jesus ministered to. Take a look on our street corners. You see them standing there with their signs. Take a look at the guy next to you at the factory. Take a look at the person that has the cubicle across from yours. And each day, they're sad about something. They're hurt about something. They're injured about something. And they have not seen what Jesus Christ has really accomplished for them. And many of them are born again Christians. And they're suffering in the same bondage. See, it's not for a lack of knowledge, but what was the problem? They didn't or couldn't do those things. If you haven't been walking with the power of God, exercising your rights, we need to get busy. But if you can't move, be honest. You may need deliverance. Have you broken the yoke of fear and bondage that comes with it? Remember, it was just last week we were talking about still the enemy and the threatener or the avenger. Remember that? He's given us enough power to still his enemies, to tell them to stop, knock it off, go in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no part. You have no place in my life. And then move on the promises of God. If you need help, be honest. We have honest, loving, true ministers. Don't let the darkness keep you suffering in silence because you're embarrassed. You're ashamed. Well, you know what? Embarrassment and shame are not light. So why let them hold you back? Why let them keep you down? And when I say we have true ministers, I know people are afraid I'll lose my position. I'll lose my responsibilities. You've already lost your position and your responsibilities if you really think about it, because you cannot really act upon the scriptures. You're allowing the adversary to deceive yourself and allowing him to get a better cover over himself. Don't let darkness keep you suffering in silence. Never let unconfessed sin provide a sanctuary or concealment for uncleanness, the chains of darkness, allowing them to remain in your life because you're afraid to say it. God wants you free of it. And there are ministers, there are brethren who love you and want you free of those things. Now, again, if you don't need it, this same point, honesty, can help someone else. But one must truly, first of all, get honest with God. People can survive a lot of things. I've seen it. You can live in a cardboard box, you know, cut a little hole in the side of it for a window, maybe put a curtain up. It's not so bad. Is that what Christ laid down his life for you, friend? Most self-rejection comes from uncleanness people are extorted to protect. No one wants to admit they're addicted to a pornographic site, gambling, or other things the satanic realm sticks around because they're feeding holes for them. Restaurants, so to speak. I'm not condemning sex. I'm condemning and I am against the darkness that feeds on it. Because that is a natural human interest, activity. I don't know what to call it. I'm not talking about a site. I'm talking about sex in itself is something that is natural and it's human. But, you know, the adversary just plays around it. And it's unbelievable how these things happen. I was amazed. I went on a sports site just to find out the scores of some football games. And you know what I found? They talked more about fantasy football than they had articles about the game. And I'm thinking, what do you mean fantasy football? They had one player ranked higher in fantasy football than he is ranked in the NFL. It's insane. I guess they're going to have a fantasy Hall of Fame. I don't know if he'll ever get into the real one, but he might make it into the virtual one. But see, it fits into the virtual life people live and are caught up in, rather than true life, where there truly is deliverance, healing, strength, power, joy, blessings, and a relationship with God Almighty and his wonderful Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is a fine line with helps, like computers. They are helpful at work. They're helpful in a lot of things. But day by day, that fine line just keeps getting thinner and finer. And there are needs out there. But first we must cast up the stones and take away the stumbling blocks from ourselves. You know, I quit smoking almost 40 years ago now. And you know why I quit smoking? Because I'd get to in a teaching and I'd be hearing the Word of God and I'd be so excited about the Word of God. And then as it got more toward break time, I'd start thinking, oh, in a few minutes I'll go out and I'll have a cigarette. And, you know, and then I think about, well, you know, maybe I'll go over here and have a cigarette or go over there or, you know, go have a cup of coffee. And I would lose 15 minutes of a great teaching on truth because I'm thinking about a cigarette. And when I realized what the heck I was doing, I thought, golly, this thing that stinks up my house and filthies up the ashtrays and all that stuff, that is keeping me from truth. I so desire to live, and I'm thinking about it at this time. And that was enough for me. I decided, I quit. That's the end of it. It became a stumbling block for me. I don't know if it was an addiction. I don't know what it, you know, what category it actually falls in, but I decided it was gone. And it was going, and that was the end of it. I do know there are spirits, unclean spirits, evil spirits that cause addictions to various different things. It's not just cigarettes. It's not just drugs. There are a lot of different things that people get addicted to, and it's from the spirit realm. And when you cannot quit, you cannot resolve that's the end of it, then you need help. When your virtual life becomes more pleasurable to you than your real life, I think troubles lie ahead. But God is faithful. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. I know this is a lot to think about. I am not saying these things as an attack on anyone or an offense that I see in anyone. I am saying this because that is what our adversary, our enemy, the one, the master of darkness, does. And it's subtle. And he gets to us. And I just want you to be free to walk in the light, and you will see that it is so much more pleasurable. Life is so much greater. Life is so much more fulfilling for you than any other way you've ever known. And that vision you had for yourself, it's not too late. It is still true. Jesus Christ never put an expiration date on what he accomplished and what he gave to you and to me. And you may really enjoy the peace of God that passes all understanding. Well, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all what? Even unrighteous spirits or spirits of darkness that live in unrighteousness, that practice and do unrighteousness. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is forgiving. Satan is not. I know people get the condemnation coming back on them. They get the attacks coming back on them. That's not from God. God is forgiving. the devil is not. He'll keep reminding you. But as I said, and as I've taught before, he is the sinner that has never repented from his sins. Neither are any of the evil spirits that joined him in his rebellion against God, who is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That God who gave us truth, that God who is love, he never repented for his sin against that wonderful God. And that God forgives us. That's the difference, one of the major differences between us and them. They have an unforgivable sin. Ours are forgivable, and we may enjoy it. See, God is faithful to forgive and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And I believe that that is the evil spirits and their effects that mar and stain the tabernacle of God's dwelling, because God dwells within his people. Spiritual bondage always precedes physical bondage. And, well, I think I've hit enough on this. The main point, the first point, is be honest with yourself. Be honest with God, and then be honest with the minister or another believing one who can help you, who loves you, who knows you, and truly desires to help you. You don't have to live with that stuff. You don't have to be stopped from doing what you really desire to do. Walk on the path homeward. As Paul says in Philippians, if you'll go with me, and then I want to close out in Ezra, but let's go to Philippians first. In Philippians, well, I'm in Ephesians, that's the problem here. Philippians, chapter 3, let's start in verse 10, and this is what Paul reads, or says. It reads, that I may know him and the power in his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, that I can live the life that Christ laid down his life for me to live, that I can live in the kingdom of God. It's nigh unto us right now, that we can live with that, what he accomplished. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend at that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. The word apprehend means to grab hold of. And he says, brethren, I count not myself to have really grabbed hold of this yet. Living like someone who has eternal life. If that I may grab hold of that for which also Christ grabbed hold of me for. Forgetting this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I plan to be like Christ. I want to be like Christ. I know I will not be totally like Christ until he returns, but how close can I come? How close can I be the image of my Lord? How close can I be that when men and women look at me, they have seen the Father? How close can I come? I press toward the mark of the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Finally, I'd like to close in Ezra. And over the next weeks and months, I don't know about months, but the next weeks, we'll continue with humility, confession, and renunciation. In Ezra, need to go back further here. Chapter 9, and in verse 8, it says, "And now, for a little space of grace hath been showed from the Lord our God, to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place." You know, a nail, where a place where we can just stick it in. We've got a stable position. "That our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolation thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem." Well, bless your hearts. That's what we desire in rebuilding the body of Christ and helping our brethren revive in this wonderful time, this space of grace. God bless you.